We are super excited today on the podcast to have Ruth Bissell with us. She is a postdoctoral researcher at Scripps Institute, and just really excited to speak to her about her journey and the work that she does currently. So Ruth, thank you so much for chatting to us. And just to start off, if you could share a little bit about your academic journey and your career so far.
Thanks for inviting me on here, Kayla. It's really great to be able to speak to you like this. Going way back, I guess. I mean, I started out with research when I was in undergrad as a PhD student. So it was an undergrad research program designed to introduce students right into the lab, into research right from first year, which was fantastic. And that's, I guess, where I was really bitten by the research bug, and it's been nonstop ever since. So I really enjoy getting hands-on experience in the lab as an undergrad, working across different projects. I was mostly focused in sort of medical research, biology generally, but really focusing on immunology, infectious disease, molecular biology, that sort of thing. Then after that, in honors year, I think it's a pretty similar undergraduate structure to what we have in South Africa. And then I went on to do a PhD at the Doherty Institute, and that's what I've recently finished up in the last few months. Earlier this year, I finished my PhD, and that was really focused on immunology and infectious disease, vaccination, and, you know, it was a time of COVID, so very much a COVID and flu focus. And that's really the focus of the Doherty Institute as well, very infectious disease, public health driven. And now I'm over here at Scripps in San Diego, and once again, immunology, infectious disease, but taking more of a basic biology approach to our work, less sort of public health focus, more basic biology.
So interesting. And as you say, very early on, that research bug bit you in your study. But from back then, was it an easy decision for you to kind of go into research? Was that always something that you envisioned yourself doing?
Honestly, no, to be honest. I never thought I'd do a PhD. I never thought I'd really get involved in research. When I was finishing up undergrad, I was thinking maybe doing like a Master's of Public Health, something along those lines. But I just couldn't drop the research. I love being in the lab so much. I love discovery, the thrill, the questioning, the way we think as scientists. It's really thrilling, and it's, you know, you're really venturing into the unknown. I just have never been let go of that. I look back, and you know, some people will say, you know, they always wanted to do a PhD, they knew they had to. And I was like, well, actually, I never envisioned that. I sort of just fell into it. I was surrounded by people who were really passionate about their work and were really excited about being in the lab. And I worked with some, when I was an undergrad, I worked with some PhD students and postdocs who were just so passionate about it, and they really shared their love for the lab for me. And you know, I can look back to them and really point out a few people who are the key reason that I'm here. And I mean, of course, every day I question whether or not this is the right path. Should I be doing it? You know, it's a challenging, uncertain career, to be honest. It's not a clear sort of progression that you might follow. It's everything uncertain, everything's unstable. You never know what's coming next, but that's sort of the thrill of the unknown, right? So I wouldn't say it was an easy choice. I think I sort of fell into it by chance and luck, and I sort of just I fell in love with the thinking process. But no, it's challenging and uncertain, but it's when it's great, it's fantastic. When it's not so great, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, because you have those moments that remind you of why you love it so much. So highs and lows with everything. Good, that's great. And then now with your current research at Scripps, what does a typical day look like for you?
So currently I'm actually working in a fairly new lab. So there's a lot of sort of building the lab as well, which I'd say is not typical once you enter an established lab that's sort of running in its fully fledged motion. But I mean, in all fairness, we're still doing so much of that already, so much of the sort of day-to-day experimentation. But, you know, typically, like, for example, today we're getting in and we're starting up an experiment where we are looking at some responses to various procedures we've done in mice. So we'll come we'll work with the mice in the mornings, and then we'll prepare all our tissues for analysis. And then, so most of the day is at the bench, preparing samples, getting the, you know, experiment ready for analysis. We'll run usually in the afternoon, and then in the evenings, you know, you collect your data, analyze data, and then let that inform your next experimental decision. I'd say that's very much the flow of the sort of basic biology in vivo work that we do, where, you know, you set up experiments, and it's depending on your time frame, you do sort of various interventions across that time point. Then you'll have experiments throughout the week, and most of the day is spent at the bench, and then you spend your time in the evenings analyzing data and then informing your next decision. In my PhD, very different sort of structure. I was fully human-based in my PhD, working with human cohorts, and that's a very different experimental design, where you might be working with, you know, cohorts of 200 to 700 individuals, and a lot of the time before you get to the bench to do the experiments, it's actually spent on, you know, ethics and material transfer agreements. There's a lot more administration involved with human works. A huge part of my PhD was really working on the administrative side of the science before you even get to the bench, before you can actually do the experiments. And I'd say, in a way, the human experiments tend to be easier, but the admin tends to be a lot harder. With sort of the work I'm doing now, the basic biology, I'd say the admin is a lot simpler, more straightforward. There's a lot less regulation around that because you're not working with humans. The experiments can often be more challenging, more technically involved sometimes. But yeah, I think it's, I like having a balance of the human and animal work. So what does your day look like? Different every day for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure, are there periods in time when then the experiments aren't so intensive that you've got other aspects of your work that you enjoy?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll be honest, like I fell in love with research because I love being at the bench. I loved hands-on experimentation. Many years later now, I'm tired and I actually prefer just sitting at my desk and analyzing the data. That's the fun part, right? Like, you experiment for the data. And I definitely appreciate the breathing space, the gaps in between experiments, where I just get to sit and soak in my data, really communicate with your data, spread it, understand it, because otherwise it can become, you turn into a machine. You know, it's very easy to just do experiments without, you know, having the time to think. And that's the fun part of being a scientist, sort of communicating with your data, asking what's it trying to tell you, what does the data mean. That's my favorite part. I, of course, I love being at the bench and preparing. It's fun, it's exciting, it's busy, you know, full on. You finish your day exhausted and you feel like you've achieved things, but actually the best part is sitting and analyzing the data. And I do relish every opportunity I get when I'm just like quietly sitting with my data, sipping the coffee, and, you know, understanding, all right, I asked this question, did the experiment, what does the data mean? So yeah, you know, having now started a new lab, new projects, it's a lot of just like busyness, hands-on. And, you know, once you've got a project going, once you've seen, you know, you've established the initial experiments, then you really fall into the rhythm. And, you know, that's the enjoyable part, understanding, you know, the science and less just the technical hands-on.
And your work, and so, like, for example, the project you're working on at the moment, is that very much independent? And do you get to make the decisions about what kind of projects you're doing, or is that kind of decided for you?
So I'd say that sort of research independence and trajectory, that sort of changed over the course of the project. So, for example, during my PhD, you know, when I started out, my advisor had some very clear questions she wanted to answer, and she just, you know, you'll be given projects and experiments to do, and you're essentially hands for your PI. But as you sort of form through the lab, if you, like, you know, depending on the relationship you have with your supervisor, a lot of supervisors will step back and let you, you know, run your own projects and test out your own ideas. And, you know, that's always fantastic. You know, once again, now I've started a new lab. My PI, when I, the first couple of months, so I came here in June, it was like not quite 4 months, almost 4 months ago. And I got into the lab, and, you know, he had very clear questions. He wanted people to do these experiments. So I did that. And, you know, we work on those questions together. And as you get familiar with the lab and you fall into the research program, then you start answering, you know, asking your own questions. And now I'm sort of setting up my own stuff, things that I was really interested in. Having said that, you know, my PI is great, and he's actually very open to, you know, just different ideas and, you know, taking the research in different directions. And before I joined, I'd spoken to him about, you know, I want to use the tools that you have. These are some experiments I have in mind. I'd love to look at X, Y, Z, these things. Can we set this up? And he's like, you know what? Yep. As long as, you know, you're also doing the work that I want done and the data, you know, we need for the lab, you're more than welcome to set up your own things and go for that. So priority is always going to be like the main research question of the lab. Like we are a research group with, you know, clear objectives, and we do have to, you know, look at the, you know, answer these key questions we've laid out for ourselves. But whenever there's a gap, whenever there's, you know, a bit of downtime, is, you know, it's always an opportunity to go and answer those questions, those burning questions you have, you know, as long as it's sort of in line with the research program and it makes sense. And yeah, so that's really lovely. And that's what I really like about, you know, working in academia, that you do have a lot of freedom of thought. You can dream up ideas, ask questions, and, you know, provided it's a reasonable thing to assess, you're probably going to be able to like answer that question. It's quite amazing to think, you know, I wonder what happens if, go and do it and get your answer. I think a really exciting thing that I enjoy about research is, you know, being able to work as a team and, you know, different projects and different labs work differently, and some people work very independently, but I really enjoy the fact that, you know, we work on experiments together, we do everything together, and it's groupthink, and I really love that aspect. I love working with people on the research.
Yeah, no, that is amazing. And I think, and one of the questions that I was going to ask is just about that collaboration. And as you say, you have that almost within your team, which is great on like a day-to-day basis. And then kind of outside of that, and maybe in like your previous portions of your career or where you're at now, how valuable has collaboration been to you? And maybe just to share a bit about that.
I think so. My absolute favorite part about my PhD was being in the Doherty Institute as a very collaborative institute. Where I'd been working, it was less collaborative. Of course, you know, when I was working in a startup, you know, an industry job, of course, that's a very different aspect. Everyone just chips in, of course. You all have a very common goal. Everyone chips in, works on each other's projects. It's not the same sort of environment as an academic lab. But my prior experience in academic labs had been very insular, very independent. Everyone works on their own project, and that's fine. But I love working with people. So I think coming to my PhD and being in this institute, we're really almost as a business model. The institute was like, we work together, we are collaborative, and we get things done together as efficiently as possible. I just absolutely love that environment. It was one of my absolute favorite parts about the Doherty Institute. Like, not only do you work together as a team within your labs, but across different labs. And part of that was amplified during COVID. Like, the Doherty Institute was really instrumental in Australia's response to the pandemic. And sort of the mentality was like, everyone puts their egos aside. Everyone, you know, there's a lot of, you know, academia attracts very sort of unique personalities, I would say. It's a very competitive career. A lot of scientists come in with, you know, they just sort of, their egos involved, and there's a lot of competition, and, you know, it is competitive. Funding is competitive. But it sometimes can get a little bit, people are very much after themselves sometimes in this career. But when you find an environment where people can put that aside and just focus on the science, it's honestly magic. And of course, there's still that, but I'd say in Doherty that what was most important to everyone was getting the science done. And I just love being in that environment, because previously I hadn't experienced that before, and it was fantastic. And I is key to an effective public health response. Like, science is what's important. And I'd say at Scripps, I feel a very similar environment too. And I think Scripps is sort of known for this, being a very collegial, collaborative environment. I walk into this department and I know that I can go across to not just, you know, in within my team, but across to any lab, and people are always willing to help out. And it's fantastic. It's my favorite part. People are my favorite part of science, for sure. Sharing ideas, talk about science. And I think it's what, makes good science, to be honest.
Absolutely. I think it just adds so much value to your projects and your perspectives. Which is so great. And then kind of shifting, it might be a little bit of a difficult question, but like you spoke about at the Doherty Institute and that response to COVID, obviously is something that we all experienced, but maybe acts as a nice example of where then research gets connected to like the real world. I think people always maybe have difficulty understanding kind of how that works. Maybe just to explain, and it can be in a general sense, but what's been your experience with that kind of the connection with research and then how it connects to the real world?
I mean, I don't think I can take too much credit for my research directly impacting policy or real world applications. But I think in Doherty itself, there's a lot of public health researchers and their work directly informs policy. So they'll go and understand responses to infectious diseases, vaccination protocols, various treatments and drugs, and those numbers directly inform policy of how those therapeutics are implemented and what the government recommends for certain patient groups. Like my lab during the pandemic, a lot of our research was actually used to inform policy. You know, we find these responses to vaccination and infection, and as a result, this is, you know, how we should respond if this person is infected, how, you know, quarantine should be set up, you know, that sort of thing. This vaccine works like this. These are the time points that, you know, are of interest, and that really informs policy. The one, I think, sort of the closest really I have directly worked on is I've been involved in teams that have worked with Indigenous Australian communities, and Indigenous Australians in Australia. So Indigenous communities in Australia are typically sort of a bit isolated from the medical system. They often don't get appropriately included in like the primary assessment of various interventions. So having research groups that specifically work with them and understand how these communities are impacted by infectious diseases and, you know, vaccines, that sort of thing is really important. And there's a fantastic collaboration that the Doherty has with researchers up in Northern Australia, where they have larger Indigenous Australian communities. And we were directly working with these communities to understand their responses to COVID vaccination, and that informed policy for recommending to these Indigenous communities how they should implement vaccination strategies. So that, you know, it's a huge privilege really to work with the Australian Indigenous communities, especially because in the past there's a really sort of unfortunate history of these groups being taken advantage of for medical research and just sort of generally treated very poorly and with limited respect. So it's, you know, very it feels like a huge privilege to work with them in a capacity that, you know, everyone's sort of feeling mutually respected. And they actually quite amazing the way they take on, like, the physicians who work with the Indigenous communities. They become part of the sort of whole network of the community sort of accept them as part of the structure of the community structure, and that they become really important figures within there. And to have that key contact, being then allowed to communicate with them through that is pretty special. And I really enjoy working with that. So I've had a few projects now where working with these communities and understanding how they respond both to COVID and flu as well more recently. So that's been pretty special. Now, taking a step back, I'm working more at the basic biology level. So a few more steps removed, and really, you know, when you're understanding how does the biology work, all right, so then now we understand the biology, now we go and design therapeutics. And then once you test the therapeutics and understand how, you know, people respond to that, then you can go and make the policies. So it's a little bit more of you removed. I think I was more on the, so I was already in my PhD more on the translational side. Now I'm taking a step back, and I really enjoy both aspects.
So good. And I think it's always so interesting. And as I say, sometimes it's hard, or something that people don't understand so well is actually how research then connects into the world. And like you said, it does that in different ways, whether it is now working with more basic biology and that kind of research, just as valuable, but completely different in the way that it's able to be connected into the world, and how kind of people then expect to kind of receive information from it.
I mean, of course, I think, you know, when taxpayer dollars are what fund the research, we have an obligation as scientists to really explain, all right, this is what we're doing with your money, is that is how science is funded. And I think it's easy to understand, of course, you know, when you design a vaccine and or, you know, a drug, any therapeutic, an intervention, you test it in a clinical trial, you know, various stages of trials, first in animal models and then all the way to, you know, human trials, and then, all right, does it work, does it not work? Okay, if it works, how, you know, this is the best sort of regime for treatment, all right, great, we can you know, put that into the clinic, fantastic. But the way those drugs and therapeutics are designed is first by understanding about the basic biology. So when it looks like, you know, you're sitting in the lab tinkering with cells, playing with mice, like what's happening, that's the information we use. All right, so we know that, you know, these various processes are affected, perturbed. This is, you know, how the biology changes. Now we use that information to then go and design a therapeutic, a vaccine. We go and do all the engineering on that side. So that's then sort of the process. It goes, yeah, basic, translational, and then ready into the clinic.
Absolutely. With each step being just as important as the next.
Yeah. I mean, you can just go for it and try and design whatever and hope for the best, and that, you know, that does work. You can also just like try and make things with minimal understanding of the system, and it's going to be more challenging, and there are plenty of success stories in that regard. But it's, you know, more rational design to go and understand first the system, all right, what do we need to manipulate, design to fit into that system, and then you have an outcome.
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you. It's so great just to have that insight into it, and really cool to hear about. And then kind of moving on to the last few questions, just one in terms of what's been the most valuable, and it doesn't have to be just one, but valuable lessons that you've learned in your career, and obviously then working in different places as well and in different institutes. What's been one or two of your most valuable lessons?
I think for me, coming back to just like the power of collaboration and a sort of really connected research community. I absolutely love my PhD experience at the Doherty Institute, just the way that I felt so connected to different labs with different sort of facilities, different research programs and different capacities, but everyone just chips in together and just makes it happen. And just really the power of collaboration and sort of the human connection, groupthink in making science happen. That for me has been fantastic. I could say something very generic like, oh, well, you know, the challenges of research and, you know, overcoming all the setbacks, which are continuous and never ending. But I think we all understand that, you know, it's you are going to fail way more than you're going to succeed in research. I stand by that sentiment, but really the biggest lesson has been just like, wow, the power of collaboration.
And lastly then, just what advice would you give to someone who's a little bit earlier on in their career and maybe looking forward to pursue something similar to what you've done?
I guess getting, you know, as much exposure early on as possible. If you can, you know, join various labs, find a way to get hands-on research and see what you really enjoy. I moved between a lot, like in my undergrad, I mean, that was the great part about the research degree that I did as an undergrad, was the whole point was to give you the opportunity to work in many, many different labs already as an undergrad before you even start your honors year. And having that opportunity to just see different ways of research, different ways of thinking, different research topics was a huge privilege. So any sort of hands-on experience you can get is fantastic. And I guess one thing that's really quite out of your control almost in research is your success and enjoyment is so dependent on the mentors that you end up with. And I really emphasize importance of finding mentors who care about, you know, your progress and, you know, just like looking out for you as an early career researcher, because, you know, you can be brilliant and hardworking and dedicated, and if your mentor is not invested in you, you're going to have a really hard time. Just the way the structure works, the hierarchy of academia, just this, it's very, very, very challenging to succeed if you're not working with the right people. So finding the right mentor, so really looking out for, you know, finding someone who, you know, scientifically you can you work with really well, but just a good person, you know, like people who really can. Unfortunately, that's not true of every single scientist. And I have worked with a mix of different people, and just, you know, making sure that the people you settle down with are those who are really invested in your growth and your career, because you're going to have a very, very hard time if you're working with the wrong people. So I think that that would be the key thing, just like looking out for those personality traits that you think are going to help you succeed.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. So good. Thank you so much for taking the time to answer all the questions and chat to us. Yeah, I really so appreciate it, especially with your very, very, very busy schedule. So I wish you all the best. It sounds like an amazing environment that you're in there. So, so wonderful that you've kind of landed up there, other side of the world from where you were. But really cool.